to the Digital Dive Podcast, a conversation about tech. My name is Darsh. I am one of your hosts.
My name is Jacqueline. I'm your other host. This week's episode is absolutely packed. We're really in the throes of Techtober. So we're going to be talking about our hands-on experience with the Pixel 6 and 6 Pro, and then also talking about the Apple event, breaking down what happened, what came out, and what didn't come out, all the way from AirPods to the brand new M1 MacBook Pros. It's going to be a very loaded episode.
If you like what you hear this episode, make sure to hit that follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure you get notified for every episode that we do. It really does help us get the show out to more people. We really appreciate it. Roll the intro.
Pixel 6, quite an adventure. It started for me personally with FedEx losing the package.
Oof.
Yeah, it's horrible. Dude, like, I feel like for most packages, it's like, all right, it's a couple days late, no big deal. But for like an embargoed package, we're like, time is of the essence. Horrible. So I was super bummed, but Darsh and I are recording this on Wednesday, October 20th, and I'm still editing the video. It's like hour 20. The second Darsh and I get off this episode, I'm going to edit it. So it will be up by the time you guys are listening. But let's just talk about the devices because they've been leaked for months. Darsh and I have been talking about them for months, and they've done an interesting and maybe not ideal thing with the embargo structure. So I kind of want to break that down for anyone that doesn't know what a dual embargo is. But Darsh, I'll throw it to you first. If you just have any like initial thoughts on the devices, if you're going to pick any of them up, etc.
First and foremost, I do want to say that yes, I do have some thoughts on the product. The first one is that wow, the leaks were right. Wow. This was very expected, and like we've been thinking about the Pixel 6 and the 6 Pro for a very long time. Honestly, I'm really happy to see it here. From everything that I've read about it, it seems as though this is going to be the actual like proper representation of what Android should be in the overall Android ecosystem. Like this is like going to be the building block for phones to come in the future. Like, I don't know. I've always been a huge fan of Pixels, and in specific, like I go all the way back towards like the Nexus devices. That was one of my first Android phones. I remember it was a Nexus 6P. I made a ton of videos on it. And then I switched back to iPhone, and I've always loved Nexus and I've always loved Pixel. I'm in love with everything I've seen so far. But Jacqueline, like you actually have one in your hand at this current moment. Can I ask which color you got?
Yeah. Okay. So in the Pixel 6 Pro, it's the coral color. And then in the regular Pixel 6, I got the green color.
Ooh.
If I was just getting them like just for my personal device, I would definitely get the black one. But I find that color devices pop a little bit more on camera. I went with those for that reason. And they all kind of have this dual tone look. So the top part above the camera module, which is like the defining characteristic of the design, is a more saturated version of the color that's below the camera module. So like if you get green, the top part is much more green than the bottom. I think it actually looks really good. I feel like last year the Pixel 5 got like lambasted for not looking unique and like being boring, dull, whatever. This is definitely none of those things. It looks like no other Android phone on the market or no other phone on the market, period, which I think is really exciting. I'm definitely a fan of it, and it looks very Google-esque.
Oh, absolutely. Even with the colors too. I've always liked how Google goes about naming the colors. And I feel like a lot of other companies have started doing something similar, like Apple and Samsung. But Google is, I think with the 6 Pro, there's the option of sort of sunny, cloudy white, and stormy black. In the normal, you get the choice of a red and peach combination called kind of coral, a black and gray called stormy black, and a green and yellow, which is known as sort of seafoam. I kind of really like the sort of seafoam, I'm not going to lie. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also sway towards kind of coral. Like, it looks pretty sweet.
Honestly, dude, all of them look really good, but I just feel like anytime that Google comes out with a phone, the black color is just my favorite. It looks like very stealthy.
Very fair.
Like with the Nexus 6P, I love that one. But I think the reality is most people are going to put their phones in a case. They're not going to care as much. But in case you're not going to put it in a case, I have noticed that the design of the Pixel 6 in terms of like how fine it is a little worse than the 6 Pro. So what I mean by that is like the back, where the back of the phone meets the rails, it's a much smoother transition. They definitely worked on it a lot more on the 6 Pro in comparison to the 6. So on the 6, I can definitely feel like the seam, whereas on the 6 Pro, I really can't. So that's a minor detail, but you feel it in your hand. Camera module protrudes a lot, which is actually to the benefit, I think, because it makes it so it's easier to grip the phone. And then the Pixel 6 Pro's camera module in the back has that telephoto lens, which kind of brings us right into the embargo thing of I can't talk about the camera yet. So the way that the embargo worked this year, and Mr. Who's a Boss actually posted a very long tweet about it, Google, like a lot of other companies, set it up to be a dual embargo where there's an initial launch day embargo and then a second embargo after that point. And on the launch day embargo, you're limited to only talking about certain things. Some reviewers say is like unfair because it purposely makes the videos positive. And I think sometimes it can. I don't think it did with the Google one because you can be objective and negative about the design and stuff. It is fair that it doesn't let you talk about certain things. So for example, I would love to talk about the camera right now or the display right now or the software, but I can't. just a weird situation. And some creators opted actually not to make the video. I don't know if you watched The Verge's video, but I forget her name, but the host of The Verge's video was basically saying that it's almost like replicating what a launch event is like. You go to the event and you could see the device, but you can't take photos or anything from it, which is true. Then I liked it more when I thought about it like that. But at a launch day event, you can do other things on the phone besides just be on the home screen. And with the embargo, you can only show the home screen.
Damn. So that's a very thick embargo, and it seems like it's going to be rough. But I mean, it's fair. Like, the phone doesn't actually come out until next week, right? Like, you can't actually buy it until it's out next week. So that would make sense. But like, I don't know. I feel like because of virtual events, like, they had to get creative with how they did the embargoes. And I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's good, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because in the past, they would get the launch day coverage, which tended to be more positive because you'd only have an hour with the device.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a week later, 2 weeks later, they would get the first impressions review coverage. So they're kind of trying to replicate that. But I guess the issue that a lot of creators face is like, it's not a launch day event. Like, I'm in my studio, I'm recording this video. It doesn't make sense not to show things. That's like the one perspective. For some devices, it's purposely done in a way because they know that there's something wrong with it. So like, for example, the Surface Duo, when they only allowed people to show the hardware, that was very clear that they wanted people to be very in awe of the hardware because the software wasn't as good. I think Google didn't have bad intentions with this. I also read another thread on Twitter that was saying that they purposely did this to kind of level the playing field for smaller creators. Now, again, I don't know if this is true, but the person was claiming that all these bigger creators get the device first and they get the embargoed coverage and then people see the videos and they don't watch anything else. So by only letting bigger creators cover certain things, it kind of evens the playing field for the other people to cover it when they get their device. And I can see that.
Genuinely, I really appreciate that for one reason only. Google, I'm not in your press list. And like, I don't know if that was a mistake or something, but like, if you want to add me to it, like, I'm around. I didn't get to check out the Pixel 6 yet. I want to check it out. So I guess that kind of answers your earlier question too. I do plan on picking one up, ideally if I can.
Okay.
I want to get the normal Pixel 6. I want to get it in the Seafoam. I feel like the Pro is definitely going to be a very well talked about device, especially because it's like Google's first ever Pro phone. But I feel like the normal Pixel 6 is definitely going to be the one that appeals to the most, like, to the masses. And I would love to check it out and be able to get my thoughts on it and actually compare it a bit with features from the iPhone 13. Hopefully maybe get my hands on an iPhone 13 as well so I can compare them side by side. I don't know. Like, we'll see. It's very, very interesting though. Like, phone as a whole, I'm very excited to see. And I know I'll probably have to wait another week or so before I can get my hands on it. But Jacqueline, like, overall though, with like seeing it in person, how do you like the design of it?
I think the design is great. Very interesting design. I think the things to watch for over the next review process as I embark on that are going to be battery life. Like, what are the differences between 6 and 6 Pro? There's a $300 price difference. So the main design differences between the two, the 6 Pro has stainless steel versus the aluminum on the 6. It has that telephoto 4X lens that the 6 does not have. Better display, 120 hertz versus 90, and 101 pixels per inch higher res. And then it also is 6.7 inches versus 6.3. So like, those are the on paper differences, but obviously there's going to be other ones as we use the device. But it's a question of like, are those differences worth it for $300? I feel like most Pro phones are like priced $100 or $200 apart. So the $300 apart is like, okay, what did Google cut to get that price down? Or are they subsidizing the phone because they really want it to sell? Like, I think because this is their first trip ever, they're just doing everything that they can to get this phone to sell because they really want to get a much more significant piece of the market. So I wouldn't be surprised if they are actually not going to make money on the Pixel 6 and they're pricing it that way. So it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is so much cheaper than all of the other alternatives.
This is my econ degree coming out a little bit. So if you look at the way that manufacturers in the phone industry do go about things, it is what I would probably refer to less as a monopolistic competition or perfect competition, rather something more of like an oligopoly. There are three or four big companies that do kind of run the market. First one being Apple, then Samsung, and then I would probably give Xiaomi, because Xiaomi's been doing really well overseas, and OnePlus. And I feel like Google's only way to enter the market and like capture a decent amount of market share in a very quick amount of time would be to undercut in pricing. I don't like saying this because there is a lot of differences, but between phones for most people, there isn't a lot of differences to so many people. I feel like if I talk to any of my friends who aren't super into tech, ultimately their biggest thing they're going to go down to is, okay, does it have a good camera? Yes. Does it run well? Yes. Is it going to last me? Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll pick it up. That's pretty much most people look for, because the feature sets have become increasingly more the same over the course of all the different models. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, but from what I've picked up, most phones you can get right now in like the flagship space are all going to be good specs. It's going to be good battery, and it's probably going to have 5G.
I would come at it from a much more nuanced take, but it's like, I'm not the average consumer take because I literally use a different phone almost every 2 weeks. To me, like, I just notice things like, oh, okay, like the Samsung phone has this type of skin smoothing. So the camera, I would use it in this scenario. So I personally just notice a lot of stuff, but I think, yeah, for the general person that I know, they just buy an iPhone most of the time. But if they're not going to buy an iPhone, most of the time they buy a Samsung phone. So for that person, I think the way that you convince them to buy the Pixel instead is the price. And then it's also stellar advertising. They're going to have to do a really good job with the advertising campaign.
Honestly, though, with Pixels, I feel like they always have, like, whenever I go downtown Toronto, at least, I always see, like, Pixel posters everywhere.
No one knows about them, though.
This is fair.
I, like, mentioned it to my friends, and they're like, wait, Google, the search engine, makes a phone? Now, keep in mind, like, my friends aren't techie at all, but still, like, they should know. If the advertising was, like, everywhere, they would know about it because there's a reason why they know about Samsung.
Absolutely. Like, that's another thing, too, right? That's what I meant when I said, like, an oligopoly. There's, like, four major competitors in the market that everyone knows of, everyone's going to go and look to. And then afterward, everything else is just, like, a side thought. It's like, okay, they offer something, but, like, is it what I really want? With the Pixel, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. Before we do switch topics, though, and talk more about the Apple event, because there's a ton of stuff announced there, I do want to just run through some specs quickly. The biggest thing that we've already kind of mentioned is the Tensor chip. So we talked about this weeks ago that Pixel and, like, Google were coming out with their own chipset, which is going to offer its own silicon, like, for the first time ever, which has never been done. So it's going to be both in the Pixel and the Pixel 6 Pro. So you're going to get the same one in both. The biggest difference between the two of them is going to be between battery and overall internals when it comes to, like, RAM and overall storage. With the Pixel 6, you're going to get 8 gigs of RAM and a choice of 128 or 256 gigs of storage. And the 6 Pro is going to come with 12 gigs of RAM and a choice between 128 and 256 gigs of storage. Both come with 5G. I believe the normal 6 has a 90 hertz display and the 6 Pro is a 120 hertz display, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then the big thing with the battery that I'd be excited to look at would be, for one, the Pixel 6 has a 4600 14 milliamp hour battery and the Pixel 6 Pro has a 5003 milliamp hour battery. Pixel 6 Pro actually has fast charge with 50% in 30 minutes, while the Pixel 6 normal will be able to reach 30% charge within 30 minutes with the same charge that it comes with, I believe.
Those are the specs. That's all we can say for now, but we'll definitely revisit it in the next podcast episode and talk about it more. We got to talk about the Apple event because this week was Apple, Samsung, and Google, and the Apple event was the one that, like, took over everywhere, like, trending on Twitter, news coverage on YouTube, news coverage on traditional media, like, literally everywhere. And it's because they've brought back what we've loved most about the MacBook Pros, and they've added some new features with M1 Pro and M1 Max, and they're, oh my God, just so hype.
There's so much to talk about here, and I'm very excited, but we are going to talk about the MacBook Pros in specific after the break.
Oh, shoot, sorry.
No, honestly, I think it's a better way to do it because I want to let these guys just simmer for a little bit. Let it sit with them, that they're going to hear everything else first. We're going to end off with the dessert.
Okay, sweet.
One of the things that we were expecting was a new set of AirPods. I don't think I was underwhelmed at all. I think I was actually very excited for what they had to offer with this new set of AirPods.
I literally immediately ordered them.
Really?
Right after the event ended. Yeah. I think I mentioned it on the last episode, or maybe I mentioned it off pod, but I lost my AirPods somewhere and I have no idea where they are. Anyway, so it's perfect timing now because I was going to just rebuy a pair of AirPods, but now I can get the new ones and make a video. So it's perfect. And the new AirPods 3, I don't know, Darsh, do you want to maybe give a spec run through?
So the new AirPods look very similar to that of the AirPod Pros. Just imagine no silicone tip, but otherwise they're pretty much the same. There is no noise cancellation or transparency mode, so it's just a normal set of AirPods, like what you would love to expect from previous years. But this year it also has MagSafe, so the charging case actually is MagSafe compatible, so you can charge it directly onto there, which I'm actually thinking is very, very cool. And seeing that Apple's bringing back MagSafe everywhere, including with the Mac, we'll talk about that after. So it has MagSafe, which I'm very excited about. And then probably the biggest thing is that it features spatial audio. And I feel like that's something that's going to be hitting a lot of people a lot more because it's just become one of those things that have been so well ingrained into the iOS and Mac ecosystem where you just want to be using spatial audio so much, especially when you're watching, like, content in specific, because it just makes a huge, huge difference in how you experience it. And we also have 6 hours of battery life while listening. And overall, the design of the AirPods, they're nice. It literally looks like a pair of Pros now, and I'm really here for it. For $179, I think it's very, very well worth it.
Now, the case changed, so the design now looks more like the AirPods Pro case. That's the one thing I'm not super stoked on. I liked the vertical case a little bit better.
No, me too.
I wonder why they did that.
I feel like that's more so that they can unify the lineup a little bit more.
Okay.
Maybe now the normal floss one seems a little bit more dated. Do you remember when everyone used to call it floss?
Yeah.
Oh my God, did you just buy like a $180 set of floss? There's so many memes on it. Now everyone wants a pair of AirPods, and if you don't have a pair of AirPods, it's a fashion statement at this point. Jacqueline, like, you're excited for them, you're getting them. What's the one thing I think that you're looking forward to the most?
Honestly, dude, just the same great quality of the regular AirPods, but updated. Like, there's not, I think, any significant feature updates that are, like, huge. The design, the shorter stem is going to be nice. I like that it's not a silicone ear tip, though. I really like that they're keeping one headphone on the lineup that is just, like, the on-ear, because I think there is a difference between on-ear headphones and in-ear headphones. The on-ear headphones, like, just rest on your ear canal, versus the in-ear headphones that go in a little bit, and I kind of find that overstimulating sometimes. Like, it bothers me. So I like that they're keeping the lineup where you have the option. I saw some people saying that they were not super stoked about that because the AirPods don't fit their ears and now they're going to have to get the Pros that they want it. And I know it's more expensive, but I do think it's really important that there is an option that's more of like a one size fits all without the ear tips.
Oh, absolutely. I actually kind of feel bad. So for my mom's birthday, we got her a pair of Pros. We thought that she'd love them. She uses her AirPods every day and her old pair was like the first generation of the second and it was very, very bad on battery.
Okay.
We got her the Pros and we're like, oh, she's going to love it with like transparency mode and noise canceling. And she loves the fact that she has them, but they don't fit in her ears. The silicone tips don't fit very well and they always fall out and she's always telling me. And I was like, we should have waited until now where the new ones have come out to get her these ones instead, because I feel like these would suit her so much more. She'd find more use case out of them.
They don't have ANC though.
That's the one thing that kind of threw me off. I mean, ultimately it makes so much sense. Like if you add ANC and transparency mode to everything, then what's going to be the differentiating factor?
Then they're the same product.
It's the same product just without ear tips and with it. So it makes sense there, but that was a bit of a cool choice on their part.
I think that the AirPods are more of like the casual, wear them for phone calls, listen to music while working out, and then the AirPods Pro, more like use them on the train, use them in a busy area. Like I think that they have kind of different use cases. Some people find ANC to not be good. There are certain people that have this thing, their brain, when they hear the ANC thing go on, it like makes them incredibly dizzy. It screws with their equilibrium, their ability to stay balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually glad that they're still offering an option that doesn't have that, because if they did do that, it would alienate a subset of people that can't use transparency or ANC without it like throwing off their inner ear. That's like such a random fact. I only know that because ANC used to really, really bother me. And I also have like this inner ear dizziness sometimes, depending on my allergies. So I thought it was going to be like a bad thing for me. And sometimes it actually does bother my ears. So that's also why I like the regular AirPods.
It definitely can get a little overwhelming at times to be full ANC. I know for myself, I prefer the Pros just because when I'm at the gym, I like to just dial everything else out and just focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So the noise cancellation definitely helps there. But I'm going to be excited to see how the normal AirPods work out. Whenever everyone gets them in hand, I'll be excited to see them. I might even go and pick up a pair for a video. Who knows? That was the AirPods. And there's another pod that came out. It's a new HomePod mini. Pretty much the exact same thing as last year. It just comes now in blue, coral, and yellow. Blue looks so nice. I absolutely love it.
Yes, the navy is like a dream.
It looks so nice.
Don't love the other colors though.
I feel like the yellow is a little off. I don't mind like this orange.
Okay.
I feel like it looks corally, like enough where like it could fit in some situations, but I feel like yellow is a little too out there.
Yeah.
Maybe even like a dark green, like with the old iPhone, like the iPhone 11 Pro.
Oh my God. That would be my favorite color.
That would be nice, but I feel like the yellow just threw it off. You know, with that all being said, like things do get thrown off and at times you have to just focus on what your goals are. And in this case, they're able to meet their goal by putting out new colors and offering a more variety for their audience. You know what? For our audience, I want to let you guys know something and a goal that we want to hit. So we set a goal for this podcast to hit 150 ratings on Apple Podcasts before the end of the year. If we hit this goal, we plan on doing a live chat with our Digital Dive listeners to answer questions and just to celebrate.
Dude, how close are we?
I don't even know. I think we're getting there. People have started to actually do it. The people have been tweeting us. Help us hit this goal by rating us now while we take a quick break to grab some cold brew, or in my case, a nice shot of espresso. When we come back, we're going to finish off with the Apple event and maybe touch on some other things from this week. Be right back.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Before we hop into the MacBook Pros, I just want to say a huge shout out to Paul Holford. I hope I pronounced it right. He just rated the podcast last week and he said, really enjoyed listening to this on my commute. Great content delivered really well. Hosts have great chemistry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really appreciate the comment. Honestly, Darshan and I were talking about it off pod. Makes our day just to be part of your commute and your life. Thanks to everyone that's already rated us. We're doing super well, I think, in hitting that goal. So please keep rating us if you haven't. And let's talk about MacBook Pro because Darshan and I were texting during the event, freaking out.
I just want to say one thing. Apple, it doesn't make you look bad or it doesn't make you seem proud at all when you take out all these different ports and then add them all back 4 years later after everyone switched over to dongles. Sorry, it infuriated me.
But then acted like they did an amazing thing.
Yeah, they're acting like it's revolution. So, okay, so for everyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Apple this week announced the new MacBook Pro lineup. So pretty much with the new M1 Pro and M1 Max chips, which are their newest and fastest chips yet, and they're supposed to be much, much faster than the laptops that have Intel-based chips. Now, they've also taken out the touch bar that they brought in 4 years ago, and they've replaced it with a normal set of function keys. And then they also added ports again, like MagSafe and HDMI and an SD card slot.
I mean, it's great.
Why did it take so long to realize it's so cool? I shouldn't be this happy to see MagSafe and an HDMI connector back on the Mac. I feel like I'm overly excited about this.
Yeah, dude, for me, it's not even really the MagSafe. The thing that gets me so excited is the SD card slot and the M1. Those are the biggest impacts to my life. The MagSafe is really cool, but part of me liked the USB Type-C. So I'm glad that it's still there too, because it made like one cable universal for everything. But literally yesterday, when I was filming a video, I tripped over a cable and spilled a giant cold brew on the floor from the cable. And if it was like a MagSafe cable and it unplugged, it wouldn't have happened. So I think it's awesome that it's back for that reason. It definitely will help with like accidental trips and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a new MagSafe too. It's MagSafe 3. So it's going to be slimmer. And on top of that, the end of it is actually not directly plugged into the Mac. Rather, it's a USB Type-C port. So it's USB Type-C to MagSafe, which kind of makes things a little bit easier too that way. So you can actually like kind of plug it into any brick or any place with a USB-C port, which
yeah,
makes things beneficial. But besides like the ports, because like that was probably the biggest thing for me that stood out that made me so excited, that and the keyboard. So they took out the touch bar, blacked out the back of the chiclet style keyboard. So instead of it having like the aluminum underneath and in between all of the keys, now it's a black surface. And it still has Touch ID. It keeps Touch ID in the top right where the power button used to be. But the keyboard is literally what the new chiclet style keyboard is that you get from Apple when you buy like an iMac or a Mac Mini or so on, like any of the desktop computers. I'm really excited. And it comes in black. Like it just blacked out. Doesn't that, I feel like it looks so cool. Probably doesn't have butterfly switches, meaning that I wouldn't have to take my laptop in twice to go get the keyboard replaced.
So is it the same keyboard like scissor switch style that we had on the 16-inch MacBook from last year?
So they didn't touch on what switches they were using. So I'd imagine, yeah, like they kept it the same. It'd be the scissor switches. So anyone who's had the updated ones, you guys are very lucky to get to live with that continuously for the upcoming future.
Yeah, I have them.
How do you like them?
Huge difference.
Huge difference, right?
I actually like the butterflies for typing, but I lost like three of my keys functionality. Could not use my O key, my G key, and one other, I think my I key. I am stoked that the scissor switches are much more reliable. And I think it's a good move that they got rid of the butterflies. But it also just shows like that 2016 update was mostly horrible. Like,
yeah,
almost went back on every single thing that they did in that update.
But one of the cool things that they did bring this year that I wasn't actually expecting was a notch. There were a couple of leaks like a couple days before the event itself that there was going to be a notch on the new Macs. And I didn't believe it at first because I thought, who needs to do that? Why? So it turns out they did do that. They added a notch to the MacBook Pros this year, both in 14 and 16 inch variants. So it's no longer 13, it's just 14 and 16, which is actually, in my opinion, I'm actually very happy about that. But with the notch itself, it's meant because they brought in a better camera system so that you can actually use it more for like video calls and video conferencing as a whole. So it's a lot easier and better in terms of quality. So that I'll be excited to check out for sure.
Just want to jump in here quickly and say that they're still offering the 13 inch, but the 14 and the 16 were the ones that are updated.
Yeah, so the 14 and the 16 are like the new generation of the MacBook Pro. Honestly, it looks like quite a bit different. I don't know if it's just me. Are the little pads on the bottom more pronounced this year?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. The main thing that I noticed was the keyboard being dark. That is, I think, is like the clear way to tell that someone has a new one.
Oh, I meant in like the pictures, like the renders for it. You see the pads on the bottom that are meant to like pry it up. Yeah, I'm literally on the website right now.
Yeah, they are definitely larger. Or they look larger at least.
You can't see them at all in the normal 13-inch MacBook Pro. But then on the 14, the 16, the new ones, you can see them. So I think that'll be also interesting to see because it's like a slight design shift that I felt like didn't need to be overly shown, but it has been, so.
Yeah, dude, I honestly, though, we disagreed about this during the event we were watching. Like, both of us texted each other thinking that the other person would be stoked or, like, had the same opinion. I don't like the notch at all. I just don't like the way it looks. And I know it actually doesn't really affect the content because you're gaining screen real estate in a way, but apps are now going to have to optimize for it. And I've read a whole thread by someone that works at Apple on how the apps are going to optimize. And it just seems like it opens up an unnecessary can of worms, in my opinion. And it looks a little bit like an eyesore to me.
Yeah, like I think that at this point, there's so much technology that's available when it comes to screens where it would be very easy to implement that camera and all of its technology behind the display and not having to like cover up more screen real estate. Don't get me wrong, I'm very happy that there's now a more minimal bezel around like through and throughout with both MacBook Pros. But at the same time, having this new notch, it doesn't have me necessarily the happiest, but I am happy that the taskbar now gets hidden with it. So like the taskbar fits and sits on both sides of the notch. It doesn't take away from like what you're using it for. If anything, it gives you slightly more screen real estate anyway for anything you're doing. So
it does.
I don't know. It'll be cool to see that in practice, like how it is in person. Like I'm looking at my normal MacBook Pro right now, and I could imagine with a notch on it, even then, like the screen would still be thinner bezels. It makes sense to me. At least to me, it does.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all an opinion. Just I think personally, find that when I see a notch, I notice it more than if I just like have a straight black bezel, it kind of just disappears for me. Whereas I think I notice a notch a little bit more and it's like, how is the cursor going to interface with that? But a lot of people seemed really excited about it. So it's definitely just a personal preference. And yeah, I don't know. Are you going to plan to try to see these in person or buy one? Or
it's a bit pricey right now. So I'm thinking of finishing up school first. But I think after I am out of school, I will sell the laptop I have right now and upgrade to the new 16-inch or the 14-inch. I haven't decided yet which one I'd want to get. I feel like I'd probably end up going the 16 route just because I keep my laptop on a stand all day anyway. I barely take it out of its setup. So I feel like a 16 wouldn't be the worst decision.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to everything with the new MacBook Pros, I'm genuinely very excited. 16, 14-inch sizes plus ProMotion, so 120 hertz refresh rate that's adaptive. No matter what you're using, it's always going to be smooth and it's always going to be crystal. And that's going to make a huge difference to the screen in and of itself, as well as the displays now having mini LED. So like these screens got a huge bump this year in terms of size, quality, refresh rate, everything. And I'm so here for it.
Yeah. Dude, the refresh rate thing is going to be huge.
Oh, absolutely. They actually mentioned something too in the announcement. They're like, oh, you can go into the settings, click displays and turn off the ProMotion when you're like trying to do video editing so that you don't actually end up overshooting or undershooting when you're doing your edit. So it makes things a lot easier.
That makes sense. I didn't even think about that. But of course, that's like key.
Mm-hmm.
Now all their Pro, like iPad Pro, iPhone Pro, now the MacBook Pro, they all have the high refresh rate.
Yeah, and they also have fast charge now this year too. So both models can charge to 50% in 30 minutes. And I imagine that's probably just with MagSafe. That's probably why they brought MagSafe back to do fast charging.
Is fast charging also applicable to the USB Type-C or is it only via MagSafe?
So they didn't actually say anything about it in specific, but I would assume that it's probably just MagSafe because they'd want to be able to sell more MagSafe cables, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell, obviously. I'm so excited to see people's reviews. I feel like they're definitely seeding it to people. I'm ready to see them next week. So I'm super excited. My AirPods are coming next week as well, which is exciting. And other exciting news, the third event that happened this week was a Samsung event. So it was called Samsung Unpacked Part 2. It wasn't a lot of major stuff, but it was some cool announcements.
Probably the biggest thing that came out is the fact that they all have, like all the new Samsung devices that have come out in the past year all have bespoke editions. So pretty much giving you full autonomy over customization. So you can fully go out now and literally choose what panels are being used for what in which phone or which watch, whatever it may be. So you can literally mix and match and make it the most personalized version of whatever you'd like. Even when it comes out to the earbuds also have a special edition collaboration with Maison Kitsune. I assume I pronounced that right. I took French for like 12 years, but
that was impressive.
It's a French brand and it has like fox iconography. It looks kind of cool. It's definitely different than the normal set of buds. And I like the muted tones and the cool greens. Overall, like that's pretty much all they announced in their part two. It was a pretty quick, like one and done kind of presentation. I was assuming there was going to be more. I'm not gonna lie, I was hoping for a note, but there wasn't. So I guess it was just something to keep them relevant.
Yeah, calling it a part two added to the hype. Like it wasn't really
it was a part one and a half. Like it wasn't a part two.
That's a great way. Yeah, exactly. Definitely was something I liked this week though. This week was awesome because it really reminded me of like 2019. Like 2019 was the last real tech season I had in person, that everyone had in person. And it kind of reminded me of like that adrenaline of like three events in a row. So that was my first one actually for this week because we're moving to the segment, weekly favorites, like stuff we like this week, where we list off some things that we like. And that is number one for me.
Okay, now I'm gonna start off with a TV show like I usually do. So You, season 3 came out last Friday.
How is it?
I binged the entire thing in one day.
Oh no.
I started it Friday night when it came out and then Saturday morning, I just couldn't move out of bed and I was watching it most of the day. And I finished it. It was 10 episodes. Each one was like 50 minutes or so. Fantastic season. Changed the game for me. Was just, I love You. So Jacqueline, have you ever actually seen You?
I've seen the trailers for it, but I'm like not super into horror, like drama type things. So haven't watched it, but I've heard it's really good.
Very fair. So it's not a horror per se. It's a thriller. It's a psycho, pretty much about serial killers, like an overly obsessive dude and how he gets obsessed to women. And it's a story about him going through his life. And then it also refers on like past things in his life that have resulted in the trauma. So actually, it's very similar to the show I mentioned last week or the week before, Prodigal Son.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting show. Really, really well done. In the first 24 hours of the new season coming out, Netflix had already announced season 4 was coming. Definitely doing very well. Absolutely loved it. And if you're into those kind of vibes with TV shows, definitely go check it out. It was very, very well done.
That's a great one. I know the actor because he was in Gossip Girl, which I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah, everyone has told me he was in Gossip Girl. Spoilers for anyone who's watched Gossip Girl, who hasn't watched Gossip Girl. Wasn't he Gossip Girl?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. That's what everyone told me. Okay.
Kind of stalker tendencies in that, right, in retrospect. So I guess he's just born to play a stalker. But he's obviously a really talented actor. My first one for this week, or my second one for this week, is a brand new album that just came out by Phineas, who is an incredible talented songwriter and producer. He's Billie Eilish's brother and he produces like music with her, but then he just came out with his debut album called Optimist, and it's really, really, really good.
I really want to check that out actually, because I've heard that he's like a musical genius and like,
dude, yes.
He helped a lot with getting her career off the ground. So I can only imagine what kind of music he's putting out, especially having been there like through Billie's entire career. I imagine he has a very good ear.
Yeah, they're both so talented. Billie is like just an incredibly talented songwriter and singer. Like, they're just a power team. They're both really great. So it's cool that they also can work on their own projects and not necessarily always together. But yeah, no, it was awesome. It definitely has like some dark vibes to it. Not every song is super happy, but I kind of appreciate that. And I think it's really well done.
Ooh, those are my favorites. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, check it out. Let me know.
Without sounding super morbid, yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, no, it's like serial killer show. And then, yeah, no, I like sad songs.
Yeah.
It's like our listeners are only going to hear one side.
No, I'm going into like this like weird vibe right now. Like, I'm growing a beard out right now. I'm trying to see how that goes. Like, I'm just,
oh my God.
I'm just trying to experiment with things I don't usually do. So I'm not a very big thriller or like horror person either, but I started watching him now as I've been older and absolutely love it. So definitely have to check out Phineas's album.
I gotta see your beard in the next Capital Reviews.
Oh, absolutely.
Darsh is a YouTube channel that y'all should check out. Linked in podcast description.
Thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I guess I'll switch to my next one. This is another TV show. It's Grey's Anatomy season 17, I believe. So it's the newest season that came to Netflix.
Is it the pandemic season or is it the one before that?
The pandemic season. Yeah. So it's season 17. They're on season 18 right now. Season 17 just finished. I'm like almost done it. I liked it and I've been hooked on it. But at the same time, it's very not controversial, but it brings up a lot of controversial topics or a lot of prevalent topics in the world right now. And especially what was going on during the pandemic. Like, it talks about the pandemic in full swing. It goes into and discusses a lot about like the consequences of the Black Lives Matter parades, the effects that it had on everyone protesting, just like mental distress or also just generally like physical distress, like getting hit with a smoke grenade and talking about like the injuries and stuff like that. So they bring up a lot of things that it's very important that they do. But at the same time, for me, it was like, I was looking for an escape from COVID and it's an entire season on COVID.
I didn't watch season 17 because it was like during the height of the pandemic and I found it like just too real.
Yeah.
Because any of that could actually happen. And I kind of like also use TV as an escape. So I actually skipped that season and I've watched like every other season that they've ever made. So it was kind of a big deal that I skipped it. But yeah, I just could not watch it while the pandemic was still going on.
That's so fair. And even now, I'm like, the pandemic for Canada right now is pretty settled and like we're doing pretty well, and at least in Ontario. And even now, I'm still like, it's a little too soon for me. It's a little heavy.
So is it not something you like this week then?
No, it's something I like this week for sure. I love the drama. I'm huge into drama. I love drama. So like this season was very well done dramatically. And I really liked it. They brought in a lot of cameos from old cast members who had already left. So it was very, very good to see a lot of old and familiar faces. So that was definitely something I did like this week. I like the season. I like the season.
I'm going to definitely have to check out season 18 now, which is the newest one, because they said that it's like post-pandemic world. That's what it said in. So it's going to make me feel a little bit more optimistic. But my last one for this week is actually a YouTube channel called Hayden Hiller Smith. I've talked about him before in the podcast, but he does editing reviews where he'll basically like break down storytelling in the edit. And he just makes me like so passionate about editing. Like, I'll watch one of his videos and then I'll be like, all right, I can sit and do this 20-hour edit. Like, I feel good. So I've been binging his content for inspiration and I've also just been learning a lot from him.
My last one for this week is a song. It's called Seduce featuring Capella Gray by Russ. My roommate's been playing it on repeat for the past week and now it's stuck in my head. So yeah, it's something I like this week. It was I started listening to it a lot as well. Definitely a very, very good song.
I will have to check that out. We're kind of reaching our time here. Thanks everyone for listening. If you got up to this point, I'm assuming you liked the episodes. If you did and you're not following us yet on Spotify or Apple or any other podcast platform, if you hit the follow button, it really helps us like get to more listeners, and it also makes sure that you get notified when we post a new episode and post other exclusive content like this description that we've been hinting at. Thanks so much to Luke Preparatori for the edit of this episode, to Adil Constantine for our incredible intro and outro music. Y'all are both amazing and we appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you next week, every Monday at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll catch you next week.